Good morning.
Hi. Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Brenda.
This is Lee.
Good morning, Lee. Good
morning.
I heard someone else.
And this is Darlene.
Hi, Darlene.
Good morning.
How's everybody's morning?
Early.
I was thinking the same thing, early.
Early? Is it foggy and dark?
No, it's starting to get light here in Northern California.
Yeah, same here in Southern California.
Uh-huh. Foggy here.
But I have to say, we had some beautiful, beautiful weather.
Yeah,
a few days you would have thought it was turning spring.
It's the Christmas season.
Yep.
And we have too, except for all the fires.
Oh my goodness, yes, I heard that.
The worst we've had, I think, ever. I don't think there's ever been that many homes lost.
Yeah,
well, how many homes? Like
100
or 800?
No, it's up to 1,000, I think.
I thought that, and then I seen some sort of a brief newscast, and I thought they said somewhere around 200, and I thought, well,
oh, no.
100.
There was that much in a trailer, in a mobile home. Excuse me.
Oh,
I'm from the old school. I still think of trailers.
Trailer park. There's more beeps. Who else is coming in and joining us this morning? Good morning. This is a lifestyle call. Who's there?
Hi, Brenda. It's Betty.
Hi, Betty. Are you having a good morning?
It's a chilly morning.
Where is it chilly?
I'm envious. You guys are all talking about sun and nice weather, other than fires. And here we are with very cold and some snow.
Wow. Well, it must feel like the holiday season there, then. It's pie-baking weather.
Yeah, that it is.
I am sorry about that noise. My husband's gone, so I have to let my dog fetch the paper. Yeah. It's her turn. I have to leave at 7:30, so I'm going to switch phones at that time today. I have an errand I have to go do. So at that time, I'll try to dial a different phone and get on before I switch phones. So did anybody see? I don't get a chance like Nancy does to watch Oprah and Dr. Phil all the time. But last night I caught Dr. Phil. Did anybody see Dr. Phil last night?
No.
He had obese children. He was interviewing their parents again, like he's done before, and discussing the obese children. 5-year-old, 100 pounds overweight.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they were pretty sad, and they said they just eat all the time, and they throw temper tantrums if they can't eat all the time. One child lived on sausage, bacon, and eggs constantly, and parents didn't know what they were going to do about it. One mother padlocked the cupboard, and said the daughter, the 5-year-old daughter, would climb a chair and break the padlocks off. Wanted food that bad constantly. And so it was interesting too to watch and see what are they eating, you know, snacks and junk food. The mother would buy snacks and keep them in the trunk of the car. And I'm thinking, isn't MSG MSG is addictive, right? Makes you want more. I don't know, but Dr. Phil didn't give them the ability to say, I can't fix it. He said, who brings the food into the house? And what food are you bringing into the house? And if it's not made available, they can't eat it. But he also said to them that they need to be eating, and they can eat a lot of food. It's what food are you feeding them that counts, which was very interesting. He had Dr. Sears on too, who mentioned to the one little girl, the 5-year-old girl, has stage 2 diabetes beginning. They have plugged arteries, and they mentioned to the parents what they're doing to these children. And he said she needs off white bread, to be eating whole grains and real food. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty nice thought to know that.
Were the parents overweight also?
Yes.
Well,
the mother of the 5-year-old girl wasn't. She was, she looked pretty normal. She was the one who was locking her stuff up in the car. But they told them they would give them a family membership to the gym because it's a family thing. Everybody needs to be doing the same thing. Don't just put her on it. And a dietitian to teach them how to eat correctly. But they stressed the disease that these little kids have and the blocked arteries they have and all, and the parents and grandmas. But I can't say no to my grandbaby or my baby. He says, yes, you can. These kids have been trained by you how to eat. So you need to be feeding them accordingly.
Brenda, could you start 4, please?
There you go. I'm sorry about that.
Huge. Thank you.
I don't know why that works, but...
I don't know. They also brought up, one of the kids was pre-diabetic already, and they were pretty strong about that these kids are headed towards big-time disease.
Big-time disease, that they already had them.
Yeah.
And the way that the fat is in the body causes more inflammation and more disease, and it just starts a big... cycle.
Mm-hmm.
All that fat on the body.
Yep. Pretty scary. At least the parents this time weren't looking like, duh, I had nothing to do with this. I didn't see any of that. I don't know that it
yeah.
was her, but they didn't verbalize it.
And they didn't act like, oh, well, my kid is just born to be obese.
Yeah. Well, one of them has been for a lot of
time. You're feeding them wrong.
And he also had on a picture of a kid who, a couple of years ago, lost, and I forget, it was like 80-some pounds maybe, and saying that it can be done naturally, healthily.
Oh, my goodness. My dog just shredded this newspaper. Forgot that she brought it in.
You didn't want to read it, did you?
Oh, I don't read how my husband does.
Uh-huh.
But he trained her to shag the newspaper and see. I forgot about her. Anyway. So, yeah, the interesting of the different world that we live in now, I don't know if everybody remembers being a kid or if people's lives were different when they were a kid. When I was a kid, bananas was a treat. You know, we had meals, and that was that. Of course, we had biscuits and gravy and stuff, but there was nothing in between the meals. It was, if there was a banana there, we would woof them down. There wasn't chips in the cupboard all the time. If we had chips, we had chips with our meal, and they were gone. So,
one of the girls, the older ones, wanted to do it, quote, her way. And, of course, nothing was happening but more weight.
She did say she wanted to eat all that broccoli, though, and I thought, let her eat all the broccoli.
Right, and that legitimized whatever she was eating.
Oh, yeah. Well, eliminate everything else.
Broccoli with cream cheese, whatever. Yeah.
Broccoli with cheese, yeah.
Macaroni and broccoli and all that good cheese on it. Ugh. Anyway.
Brooke is right. I had a friends come over on Saturday, and I thought, well, what am I going to fix for them? So I roasted them a chicken, and then I made salad and potatoes and vegetables and all the other stuff to go with it so they would be happy with the chicken. And just taking it apart, I had just a little bite of it, but I noticed the oily film on the chicken that I never, on my fingers, I'd never noticed before. It was always just a given, but it annoyed me this time, that oiliness that comes off of the chicken, even after you drain the fat off. The awareness that we can get from changing our lifestyle, that I don't ever remember feeling that oiliness before. Or has anybody else, have you guys noticed that in different foods?
Yeah, this is Darlene. I used to, my favorite part of the chicken was the drumstick and the thigh. And then I got to notice, and many years ago, that when I was preparing to clean it, that the thighs, I like to take off all the extra fat that I would see on the outside of the chicken. And the thighs, when you opened them, they were just loaded with fat. And then I quit eating any of them because I thought it was just gross. But that's the modern-day way of getting those chickens to market fat. You give them all those extra gross things, and I guess that creates all that internal fat in them. But it was pretty gross.
It constantly amazes me because I get shocked at it, and then I go without it for a couple more months, and then I look at it again, and I'm always shocked at it. It's like, why am I always shocked at it? I don't understand. But I have a client who came in to the shop yesterday. He'd had a heart attack last year. Cholesterol was like 220. And I just told him a little bit about eating and dropped it. And he's been working on things himself. He comes back in and he's so proud. His cholesterol's 54. 54 now.
Wow.
54? What are you doing? And he said, I eat fruits, I eat vegetables, I don't eat any processed foods, I don't eat any junk, all the meat is gone. he carries a pedometer, he makes sure he gets his 10,000 steps in a day.
My husband doesn't do any of that, and his is 50 since we became.
Wow.
And he doesn't exercise like he should at all.
Wow. So it can be done.
Brenda, he just does all, totally just what you said then, huh? This is Mary Lou.
I think he eats salmon,
uh-huh.
But very few. He's just gotten very strict. He goes, why can't people eat an apple? Eat an apple. And he was just so excited about eating simply and whole grains. I don't eat any bread, he said. But then he said, yeah, I eat whole grains. Whole grain bread, so.
Well, there was in our paper on Sunday a 47-year-old with an actual picture of him who looks like he's fit, who died of a massive heart attack. Is this client of yours overweight, Brenda?
No. Maybe just a little, but not.
Unfortunately, heredity does play a role there.
There was a picture of, I missed what you were saying. Just
somebody in our paper, and because I mark it with a wow when my husband reads the paper, I highlight stuff when it's important. A guy who died at 47 from a heart attack, and there's a picture of him, and he looks fit. He's not overweight at all. So.
He looks fine.
Yep.
But sometimes, you know, when people really look fit, they have a very bad diet.
Oh, I have no idea what this, you know, I'm just saying looks
yeah.
can be deceiving, sure.
Yeah, my mother-in-law, she was always on the very thin side, and
she could never get enough pastries and Danish and all that type of thing. And you couldn't convince her that it was just terribly bad for you. I don't eat that many of them, she'd say. But you'd always buy a whole package.
And always have it there. Well, have you been talking about Thanksgiving dinner? Anybody on the call? Have we been talking about Thanksgiving dinner? No?
No, I don't think
so. Can you give me some quick tips on things you're going to do so I can pull that in too? I'm going to make a turkey. I think that was the practice chicken thing I had. But I better buy a tiny one because I don't think it's going to be eaten with my family. It'll be like probably the centerpiece on the table, that, you know, like your flowers.
You do sweet potatoes at all?
I do. I do sweet potatoes. I saw a recipe with honey on them, honey-baked sweet potatoes. They sounded pretty good. We've gotten to where we don't like the casserole anymore. We like more potato, more plain potato.
Mm-hmm.
Where did I see that honey recipe? I think it was one of those that comes from that culinary guy.
Well, my husband keeps telling me if I want my kids to come for Thanksgiving, I have to give them a regular dinner.
If you want what?
If I want my kids to come for dinner, I need to make Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Well, to answer your question, I will not be doing a turkey.
You won't be.
Not even up.
Are you making a tofurkey?
You know, I'm not sure it will be. I thought about doing some of the substitutes, because there's lots of recipes that have you do things that will substitute it. But you know, I haven't really given that. Kind of hit me when you said it, Brenda, because I thought, oh my gosh, what would I do if my kids were coming for dinner, which they won't be this year. But what I would do would be let that one of them bring the turkey, which they would graciously do, offer to do without me even saying anything, I'm sure. But I would do all the rest of the stuff. And there's a relish that I definitely want to make, a cranberry orange relish. It was a Martha Stewart recipe with pomegranate seeds in it. I sent that down, I think, a year or two ago. I don't know when it was. But anyway, that was very good. And that's something I look forward to. But no, I couldn't quite do the turkey. And when you were talking about the fat content and all of that, I'm trying to think when I last worked with any meat. And I think it was shortly after we started, when we had the family here from Holland, which was just a few months after we started, like 3 months after we started. I think that's the last time I fixed anything for anybody else.
Where are you, Char?
Pardon?
Huh?
Oh, where are we? We're still at home. Denny's still working some stuff on the coach, and I'm still doing end of the year closing, so we're not on the road yet.
Are you going to do anything about you know what? It's Lee.
About you know what?
That's in the garage since January or February.
Oh, yes. Yes, I've finally got a phone number to give a call and see if I can. Yes, I have been working on that. It's just that I've not been very successful at it is all. So, yeah, I'll let you know, Lee.
Okay. Well, we're glad. I told you we were glad to take it down for you.
Yeah, no problem.
It's on the car.
Appreciate it. But anyway, Thanksgiving will be very much the same as the rest of the holidays have been for us. It's just there's lots of other things, and when I go to potlucks, especially family ones, it never occurs to me to take anything, because other than what we eat, because that's what the side dishes for everybody else are the main courses for us. So, meaning the starches or whatever, you know, at least part.
And that way you're sure of having something that you can eat.
Yeah, and I want to feed my family that way. That's the other really, really, really big part, is I want them to see the variety that we can have, so I rarely ever make the same thing twice, and just let them experience what we can do, because their idea of, you know, vegetables is just a vegetable, you know, steamed usually, or raw even. So, anyway, I was going to look in the, yesterday's edition. I was too tired by the time I was to the point where I was sitting down last night. They always come out with other dishes, and a lot of the side dishes are really good, and of course it's for what's available at the time and also for the holidays. So, anyway, but, you know, I full well understand what you're saying, Brenda. If you've got family coming and people coming, this is what they expect.
I'll make a small turkey for them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like I said, it's not going to be, I don't think it'll be eaten, because my family has gotten to where they eat very little meat now, even my grown kids. But I think it'll be a lot of fun making, like you were saying, many different new exciting dishes, even the dessert, making something that's nutritious.
Yes.
Will take away that, I feel so bloated feeling after dinner.
Right. Well, I know I appreciate the way I feel every day for not having the foods that were causing those problems on my intake, and so I can't imagine, you know, I hate the thought of fixing them for somebody else, thinking that, you know, of course, they're used to that feeling, just the same as I was and many of you. You didn't know any different. That's just the way it was when you ate. And as you got older, it was a little more dramatic, because our digestion just doesn't work the same as it did when we were teenagers. So anyway, there's lots of good ones out there. So if you guys don't have any of them to share now, yet, I guess we better make mental notes so we got lots of them for the next holiday coming up, right?
Yeah, we will. It's time to start experimenting with things and figure it out, because I like all those fun little things.
They are. It's great on the taste buds, isn't it? I'm looking at my milk, deciding I better make a batch of milk before Denny comes storming down here to have breakfast and says, "Where's the milk?"
And milk, I've gotten to where the thought of cow milk is just not even there. When I started soy milk, and I don't know if there's anybody new on the phone who's contemplating, switching milk, soy milk. That's what I thought. Can I taste this? Can I drink this? It's all in the mind. Now I pour soy or rice or almond or anything on my cereal, and it's just fresh and good, and that's how it's supposed to taste. So the taste buds change, and it becomes a habit. It becomes very nice.
Well, I've got two batches in two different, I use a two-cup measuring cup, and I put a half a cup of rice and a half a cup of, or no, excuse me, half a cup of rice and a fourth of a cup, scant fourth of a cup of almonds, and let them soak overnight. And I've got two batches sitting here to mix up in my milk maker. So one batch will be done for him for milk. And I like mine warm over cereal so it doesn't cool the cereal off so much. And then we still got tons of apples chopped up on top of it. And if the apples are tart, sometimes I'll throw in a tablespoon of raisins or any other fruit that's in here on top, and makes a great breakfast.
I heard something on TV this morning, and I didn't hear the reason. They said never eat raw cranberries.
I'd like to know that reason, because that's what's in my relish recipe. They're not cooked.
At all?
I've never had a problem with it. They're just ground up in the...
Well, I wonder if they marinate with all the stuff you put in.
Well, that's true, because there's citrus in there also.
Yeah, I didn't hear what the reason was, but I don't even know what was on ABC or NBC.
If anyone's on the computer, set and do a Google search right now and see what comes up.
I know, I think it was last holiday time, Marie started popping them like they were candy, and I didn't think anything of it. They're kind of bitter.
I can't quite eat them that way, but...
No. But I don't know what her reason was.
No, I've not heard that one.
Hey, I got my my new nutritional pack from NECAM. I opened it day before yesterday, and I was pleasantly surprised. I was so happy when I love the caps, and when I opened up the basic four, it has a great smell. And I thought, this is so easy to take because they taste good when you pop them in your mouth to swallow them.
Did you try chewing one?
No, I didn't
try. I'm just kidding.
I haven't tried that, but I might. But I was I did not like the taste of other vitamins before. They just kind of, I would choke them down. But they smell and taste good. I was happy to see that. So I don't know if that would help people. I think it would, to be excited about taking it with their
meal
or whatever.
I'll interrupt a little. I'm on the internet, and it says, eating well, another reason to eat cranberries. And this one says, my old recipe for our cranberry. The next one says, cranberry question, protein power forms. Cranberry question, the protein power kitchen. I'm sure there is no reason not to eat them raw, but they're pretty low in carbs. And another reason to eat cranberries. It just goes on for a couple new quiz. They've got a whole, here it is again, to eat local food. 2 cups washed cranberries, 2 skinned and cored apples. Raw apple cranberry pie, and had no desire for sugar. This is all the different ones on it. Proper way to eat relish is 1 small nip at a time. But there's all, it all says raw.
So there's controversy.
Yeah, I don't find any that says not to eat it.
I don't know.
There's 10 pages. I mean, I've got about 10 or 12 of them right here. But it also says the 15 healthiest berries you could possibly eat. Because cranberries are so tart, they're not usually eaten raw.
Mm-hmm.
But it's as if they're sweet. Taste wasn't enough of a reason to eat them. Cherries are, because cranberries are so tart, they're usually not eaten raw. But there's nothing about not eating them.
Okay.
Raw.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, you know, when you guys were just now talking about it, I thought of a great combination. Thinking back to when I was with Wei. And just the other day, she was talking about making her meat substitute, the pâté, and that type of thing. The relish that I have could be very easily spread very thin on anything that you were making a sandwich with that would substitute for the meat, the chicken or turkey, I meant to say. Just because we're used to that type of thing, and my delight was always the leftovers of the Thanksgiving meal. Didn't matter what part it was of the meal, but that was what I enjoyed, and making sandwiches, making soups with the vegetables as well as the turkey, you know, mixed in with it. So after being down there and seeing what she has done with the substitutes that she does and how her children just eat it like they would lunch meat, not difficult to do. It is different than we're used to doing. So I've got to get that mastered and be able to, well, she said she would send us the details on it also, but on how to put it together in the solid form where you just press the water out of it and it makes it stiff enough that you can slice it just like you would a chunk of meat, very firm, and would hold together that way. So there's lots of things out there to experiment with, and I know it has to be written up, and I'm sure it's on the internet.
Well, I'm weird. I really liked
stuffing sandwiches. Worst thing to eat. Has anybody got any good recipes for stuffing?
Well, I've always used a mixture of rice, very little whole grain bread. Now, of course, it would be sprouted bread, and then just your poultry seasonings in with it. Apples, I put apples in mine, put nuts in them for texture. You know, the sky's the limit when it comes to stuffing. There's a, you can do a huge variety and still have it come out good. Now, what to put it in to give it the moisture if you're not using poultry to stuff it into would be another question that we might come up with some answers to, because it's always different when you bake the side dish that's left over that doesn't go in the turkey, when you bake that outside the turkey as to when you bake it inside the turkey. If any of you have done that, you know the different flavor, and actually the texture of it is even more so. So have to think about that one.
I remember the year that we got the new pans, I decided I was going to try it with my stuffing. And I did, you know, it was the first time I used it, and I didn't realize that because the electrons are on, it cooks faster, and it burned the entire bottom of my pan. But the rest of it was good. Everybody liked it. So if you're going to use your Kens and pans, remember it does, things happen quicker.
Put any tofu in it? Because
no.
I know we used to put sausage in it.
No.
Put any tofu in the dressing?
I don't, and I never had put sausage in either, so they weren't looking for that.
I used the this sounds really gross now, the giblets parts from the chicken because that, or the turkey, that's what my mother always did, and I just grew up that way. But any of the meat-flavored tofus would be, and the ones that are firm and chewy, and again, how you get that texture with any of it is to simply freeze it. And then when it thaws out, press the extra water out of it, and it will have a completely different texture. It will not resemble tofu. I'm looking for a seasoning I used the other night because I really didn't check the ingredients that carefully because it was only a sprinkle. And it was something that I picked up. It's called bacon seasoning, bacon and cheese seasoning. And bacon is spelled B-A-K-O-N, bacon and cheese. And this came from Azure, and I've got to get a magnifying glass to be able to see it. Another very, very fine print one. Okay, there's a form of yeast in there. Oh, they are using some cheddar cheese in there. Well, the amount that I got wouldn't have even come close to a 5% for the day.
How much sodium?
Let's see. Oh, on seasoning, let's see. Yeah, I guess it will give the sodium. Again, it wouldn't matter. 55 grams.
That's all?
Yeah, in 1 teaspoon, and I probably had 1/4 teaspoon on what I ate. And I sprinkled it on a bean soup. We had some beans I shelled out of the, Denny and I were shelling beans last night out of the garden. Absolutely amazed at some of the stuff that's still in my garden. Cannot believe it. Celery. I've got celery that's knee-high, and I've never even grown celery like that before. The bunches are almost big enough to fill a five. The diameter would almost fill a five-gallon pail across.
Do you get one stalk of celery from each plant?
No.
Really?
The whole, not one stalk. You mean?
I mean, one head, whatever they're called.
Yeah, right, yes. And it would almost fill a five-gallon bucket across.
So it takes a lot of space.
Well, it's tight in the garden, you know, more than a carrot or a beet would.
Uh-huh. But
I didn't plant them more than, 12, 15 inches apart.
Uh-huh. And just one per plant.
One stalk per plant, yeah, one head.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever they term is, I can't even think how they... I think of a stalk as one individual stick.
Okay.
because that's usually what they do in a recipe, one stalk of.
Yeah, okay. But whatever they, when you buy celery at the.
Right, the bunch, the bunch.
Okay.
We can call it.
We've never tried celery.
Yeah, it was, and talk about look green, and then of course there was an infomercial on juicing last night and how they were throwing, anybody have a Jack LaLanne? Juicer, just out of curiosity. I'm not big into juicing by any means, but they also, what did tempt me was that they use the fiber. The pulp that comes out of it is reused into the recipe, so actually you are getting the whole food.
Mm.
Which is exactly what happens with smoke sticker. So anyway, you guys, Brenda, carry on, because I see you're getting right close to the time here. Probably got some other things you want to cover. Or somebody has comments.
I was just listening. I put it on mute for a second because I have a few things I need to get doing before I take my trip. I have a friend who has the Jack LaLanne loot juicer, and she really likes it. For that, we were talking about the dressing, the stuffing. I do cornbread stuffing. I don't really see a problem with converting that. Cornbread stuffing.
No, and in fact, I was going to say that, Brenda. My daughter-in-law, Stacy, makes cornbread stuffing from the South that was to die for every year, and she does not put that inside the turkey. It's baked in a separate pan, and I love that. I'm thinking I should get that recipe.
It isn't as wet when it's not baked in the turkey, but it's just as good, and we always put a lot of cranberry sauce on top of it.
Ooh, that'd be good. It's
really good.
What's the ingredients in your cornbread stuffing?
Cornbread stuffing? Well, I usually make cornbread, but you can buy cornbread croutons now, the cornbread stuffing mix that has the cornbread. But, and I use whole grain bread, where we used to use dried out biscuits.
Okay, so you have bread in there besides cornbread?
Yeah, bread with cornbread. Or if you want to do it easy, which I've gotten into the easy thing lately, there are whole grain stuffing mixes that have whole grain bread and cornbread already dried out. But if you're going to make your own bread, you have your own bread, you have to really get it dried out. Where my mother always let it sit out for days to dry out. I've taken a low oven, broke it up and put it in the oven. It has a gummier texture if you don't get it nice and dried out. And it doesn't soak up the flavorful juices as much because it's already wet. So cornbread, bread, however much you want, you can use a little more cornbread. Sage, saute onions, celery, onion, celery, parsley. You could put carrots if you want. We don't usually. We just do a lot of onions, a lot of celery. And I like them crispy.
No garlic?
Yeah, throw garlic in it. Sage, thyme, poultry seasoning. Just sprinkle it in to taste. Taste it as you mix it up. And then we pour in, it's always been like broth, turkey broth off of the turkey or chicken broth, but you could use vegetable broth. You could use whatever broth you want to wet it down with.
Did you have eggs in yours in a regular dressing? There was always eggs in mine. We could substitute with flaxseed if you used eggs.
We never used eggs. It was a pretty simple dressing. Pretty simple. So I just mix it up and bake it up. It's about the seasoning, the salt and pepper and sage and thyme and garlic. Some people throw in oregano. We didn't have oregano. But, you know, even if you want a little, some people don't want any animal product at all, but if you want a little of that turkey flavor for Thanksgiving and you put a little fat-free broth, we're talking about the combinations and the percentages. You're not going to have much percentage in there. It means the taste of the food.
So
I haven't decided yet if I'm going to do that. I'm going to start with vegetable broth. There should be something with a good taste out there that, in the way of broth, that we can toss in.
I like the containers that don't, well, just your regular quart containers of the Pacific vegetable broth. I think that has a good flavor. It's got a lot of strength and seasonings in it from the herbs.
That would be really good, too. Yeah, so, and it's I consider it a pretty nutritious food when you make it up like that. And then some people toss in, well, we used to throw in, like you said, the giblet. We boil the neck and put the meat from the neck in or whatever, but I didn't even like that. I've never done that in a long time. It's too much bother. So I haven't even put meat in it. You can toss in cranberries. You can toss in whatever if you want to, but...
Brenda, this is Mary Lou, and this is just a little tip when you're making your dressing. I learned finally to saute my onions, like you said, in a broth, and the celery, and do your celery first because celery takes longer to get softer, and then add your onions to it, and you can tell when they try to get translucent. Then it doesn't take you very long for it. You don't have to overdo and make your breadcrumbs so bad. That's just a little tip that I finally, after fixing it many years, learned that it helps a lot on time-wise and helps on not getting everything else soggy.
Yeah. And it brings all those flavors together nice.
It really does.
But then I've done that and missed the crunch of the celery.
Okay.
It's soft, but it's not.
But I'm just saying that's the way that I finally did on faster when he was doing on things. But either way, you may like it crunchier. My family didn't, and so I was trying to get for celery in there for flavor, and they didn't care for celery that much. So I just finally learned to do it that way.
So it's kind of a taste what you're used to and what you enjoy. I do saute the celery, and then I add some more for crunch at the end because I like that.
Okay.
And I like a lot of onion and celery in mine.
I do, too.
When I'm ambitious, I sometimes put chestnuts in. You can put water chestnuts in for crunch, too.
Uh-huh.
I do.
Yeah.
You're past the 40 minutes, Brenda.
Okay, good.
I know you should go anyway.
Yeah, I have to go. Well, thank you all, and I'm looking forward to hearing more ideas as the day approaches because I need some to make.
Thanks, Brenda. Great call.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you all. Have a good day.
Bye.